This morning, as we continue in our series, The Objects of His Passion, I invite you, if you brought your Bibles or if you'd like to turn to the Pew Bible, to find the Old Testament book of Micah as we read from his prophecy, the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. May the people of God be inspired and challenged by this wisdom found in the prophecy of Micah, the 6th chapter, the 8th verse. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. This is the word of God for the people of God. We've enjoyed sharing with you about the objects of his passion this Lenten series as we looked at the expensive perfume as one object, as we looked at the basin and towel and Jesus' example of service to others, as we looked at the compromise of priorities and loyalty and the money bags that Judas accepted, and then as we thought about the sanctuary of Christ at the Mount of Olives. Last week, we talked about the cutting sword, the cutting edge of truth, that of Christ our Lord. Well, today we do think about our confirmands that are coming into the life of the church in a most official way as they not only proclaim their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, but become official members of Asbury United Methodist Church. So we're looking to the law, knowing that as Christ was going to the cross, that all of this culminated from the fact that he was interpreting the truth of the law. You see, he had gotten in trouble because he was challenging them to change their interpretation, to accept and embrace the truth. And we do that from day to day, don't we? We find ourselves confronted by the truth. It seems that some days we are so close to something, yet so far away. Over 25 years ago, I was serving my first full-time charge, three-point charge, as we called it, or circuit, preaching at 9, 11, and 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The 2 p.m. church happened to be the oldest church in Union County. It was a wonderful, simple, A-frame, white clappered board church. No indoor plumbing, no Sunday school rooms, no pastor's study. So every afternoon as I prepared to go there, I just had on my clergy robe and stole as I would just enter into the church and be prepared to preach. And it was some 20 minutes away from where we lived in the town of the Station Church, which I served, the 11 o'clock church. Well, on this particular Sunday, I found myself running a bit late. Oh, shocker. And something caught my eye in my rearview mirror, and it was blue twirling lights aimed right at me. A state trooper motioned for me to pull over, which I did, and as I came to my stop, I pulled out my license and registration, knowing that he would ask for that. And I thought to myself, oh, I'm really going to be late. Well, the trooper happened to be African-American, and, you know, they have such respect, especially for the clergy. Have you ever noticed that? It's in their tradition, their culture. I was grateful for that. And when I rolled down my window and he came up to my car, I handed him my license and registration, and he looked at it, and then he looked at me dressed in my clergy garb, and then he looked at my license again, and then he looked me up and down. And he said, "Lady, you a preacher?" I said, yes, sir, I am. In fact, that church right up the road that we're looking at right now, where you often sit in the parking lot to catch speeders like me, is the church in which I'm going to. And right about now, they're singing the opening hymn without me. Well, I kid you not. At that point, he took his pen and his pad and he threw it up in the air. And with his arm still up in the air, he said, well, far be it from me to interrupt the work of the Lord. Go on, sister. God bless you. That's going in my book I'm writing, by the way. Hey, preacher, later. Tell me, you must have just come in. Yes, I heard your laugh. Okay. Thinking about running late, we had to do the musical car shuffle again this morning to get Kara to the airport. The law. You see, sometimes we are so close yet so far away. And I suppose that we could say just the same thing about understanding God's law. So close yet so far away. And God's law, after all, is meant to protect us, so he would really like for us to understand it. Thinking about our young people this morning, we all remember, don't we, when we were young? There were so many rules, 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 rules at home, rules at school, and yes, even rules at church. But God's rules were not given to restrict us, but again, to protect us and to help us, to guide us. For instance, when Moses was given the law, the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, he understood that he didn't construct the law. He was simply the messenger. The law came from above, from God. And Moses could have bragged all about this as he presented it to them and taken some ownership, being the one to tell the people what they were going to have to do. He could have been quite puffed up about it. He could have owned that he was kind of the boss, being the messenger of all this and all. But Moses knew that the law was to be respected. And not only respected for its content, but respected for its author. The author being God. Listen to what the psalmist David said. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Psalm 19. Respecting God means regarding far more of what he intended by the law than what we perceive, which may sometimes be rather misguided or watered down from what it is meant to be. And the way we know that we are receiving what God wants us to receive is when we read the Bible and we ask, as John said in the 14th chapter, 26th verse, that we are allowing the Holy Spirit to teach us the intent of God's word always. We're to read God's word as a whole and not just select sometimes certain verses to prove our point or to make our case. The instructions of our Lord are perfect, the psalmist says in Psalm 19. So as we think about the law, obviously the first place that we start is believing it. Believing, following God's word, but that comes with patience. And you see, that was the crux as Jesus was going on this glorious ride on Palm Sunday, headed into what everyone perceived was going to be this victorious symbol, which, by the way, is what palm branches stand for. They stand for victory. And so what greater Sunday to bring these young people into the life of the church than when they are claiming their victory and their salvation in Jesus Christ? But you see, the Pharisees didn't understand. They didn't understand the law of God. They misinterpreted the law of God. And in their ignorance and their impatience, in accepting the truth of God's law, then they just tried to squelch the truth by snuffing out the life of Jesus Christ. When we read the commandments, we sometimes misinterpret them ourselves. Jesus came to interpret them. Hearing his truth will give us wisdom and patience. Just like I was not very patient driving to the church that day, due to my own fault, my own negligence, we can become impatient trying to quickly gain God's understanding rather than chewing on it, meditating on it, absorbing it, soaking it up. But the good news in Jesus Christ is that God's timing is perfect. And we may not get the full truth today, but we get a taste of it. And as we live and we focus on wanting the truth for us, God will reveal it in his time. But we do live in this instantaneous, instant message society, this news feed that goes to us rather quickly, so sometimes we're not very patient. When I was serving in Searcy, I moved into a brand new construction condo, and by that I mean there was grass, no trees, no shrubs, no plants, no flowers, nice new wooden privacy fence. But I decided, wouldn't it be a homey little thing for me to put out this brand new tubular finch feeder? I filled it up with thistle seed. Now, friends, for those of you that are not into birds, then you may not understand that thistle seed to like purple finches and gold finches are like nectar to honeybees. So I was excited. It doesn't take much to excite me. So I hung it up. And waited and waited. Weeks passed, months passed, and I grew rather impatient. And out of exasperation, on one beautiful sunny day that surely they could see my thistle seed, and they had not yet, I just took it down. I thought, oh, I'm going to take it to our place in Pine Bluff where those birds will appreciate it. And this was the morning for that. And I looked out my window, and lo and behold, if there wasn't a black-capped chickadee at my finch feeder. I said, well, you're not just real pretty, but you'll do. I was so proud. Again, it doesn't take much to thrill me. But this little lesson in God's creation was a clear reminder to me from Psalm 37. They who wait upon the Lord will be blessed. We're guilty of not practicing patience at times. The law of God was given and people began to break it almost instantly. We're good at breaking the laws, but when we do that, we have to understand there's a breakdown in society, a breakdown in our home, and most of all, a breakdown in our relationship with God. So we think about what is the purpose of the law. And the second thing I want to share today is there's one purpose, and that is to portray to us how real is God's love. Let's recall a few examples. Don't eat this fruit, i.e., because if you eat it, you're creating sin, which is breaking the relationship between God and creation. And God didn't want that. God wanted us to love him enough that we would want to obey him. We would want to respect him, as you would, I would hope, anyone you love. Respect, revere, care. God said rest. God wasn't trying to restrict our activity. God just knew what we were made out of. He created us, and that we would need to replenish our bodies so that then we can be at the best in our hearts and our minds. Worship only me, God said. Again, not to restrict us, but again to build up that relationship that we have with God rather than distracting us with all these other little gods and icons and things that we love so much. God knew the importance of meditation and reflection. The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans 5, the law of God came to increase the awareness of our trespasses. Where sin is increased, God's grace, however, abounded all the more, so that we might still live in grace. Well, so shall we continue to sin then, that we can have all the more grace? Paul says, no. For all who have been baptized unto Christ Jesus have then been baptized unto his death. We have then been buried with Christ through baptisms, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, we too might walk in newness of life. Today, our young people are going to come forward and make the greatest confession, the greatest profession, and the greatest decision of their lives. It will indeed be life-changing forever. So the third and final thing I want to offer today is an opportunity for us to reflect upon our own faith, our own commitment to Jesus our Lord. Do you happen to remember the day that you made that profession? I do. I remember that day. I remember being dressed, yes, in a little white dress. I remember that day. I remember who was there. I remember the pastor that was the senior pastor at the time, and I remember the associate pastor and the classes which he taught for confirmation. And I remember that day. But for some, the experience of making that profession perhaps didn't happen that way. Maybe it happened at the end of a revival service. Maybe it happened in a totally different setting. Just when the Holy Spirit happened to touch you and you came forward at the end of a worship service and just gave your life to Christ. You see, one way is not greater than the other. It's important all the way around. Maybe today is the day that you renew your commitment to Jesus in your heart as we lift up our young people. Because Lent, if nothing else, is a time when we experience what it is to sacrifice in honor of Christ and his sacrifice for us. In doing that, Christ is more real, because we get just a tiny taste, and I mean nothing in comparison, but perhaps a momentary taste of what it is to not get our own way, to give up something that is meaningful, to challenge ourselves to change. For just one moment, we reflect on Jesus' sacrifice for us as individuals and how we think upon him in a greater depth, in a greater sense. In a day when the world tells us, hey, just be free to be you. There's no one like you. Well, true. But once we allow and permit ourselves to just whatever, that's when we've really not become free at all, but become enslaved. We have bound ourselves up in our own chains of sin, a prison unto self. For Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Many of us in this room could say, you know, I'm just addicted. I can't help myself to so-and-so. And without that such-and-such, we feel it. We notice. Living a life that is self-centered, to do as we please all the time, will lead to that bondage. But if we remain faithful to the teachings of Christ and God's law, the Ten Commandments, as John recorded in John 8, We will know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, God provided the way to unbind us from our chains. So, Christ went to the cross to give us the new interpretation of the law, to teach us, to offer to us the acceptance of that truth. God's always been speaking, we just sometimes haven't been listening. Micah 6:8. So what does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Well, I'd say that just about covers it. You got to love the law. Jesus is the law fulfilled. Thanks be to God for that. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.